Okay.
Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba, Remax Metro East Side.
And I'm Eric Austin from Home Street Bank Home Mortgage. And we've got Robert Maxwell and Hamilton Gardner here with us, law office of Holmquist and Gardner. And you guys specialize in real estate law. Just a real quick aside, I got a longtime friend of mine that was a real estate attorney. He just recently retired. And we used to teach continuing legal education for University of Washington, and we taught a class that was for general practice attorneys who wanted to practice real estate law. And when we first started this class, my friend says, okay, all we got to do on this class is scare the living daylights out of these attorneys so they never even want to attempt to practice real estate law. And I'm like, got it. You know, we're there. You know, that's easy enough. We got lots and lots of horror stories that we can use to just
frighten the pants off these people.
So, but he really had a valid point, right? Because real estate law is so specialized and you've got so many different nuances to it that you really can run a little bit of a risk if you just take your real estate problem to a general practice attorney, correct?
Yes, and not only that, there's the emotional value that comes with property. And
right.
I've never seen crazier cases in a property line dispute over, you know, 5-foot areas.
Oh, my gosh. Sure. I had a neighbor who was like crazy town over that kind of stuff. It's nuts how vicious people get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got some of those personal ones.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so. I'm with you. Like, the amount of information you have to know just for real estate alone. You know, we were even just talking on our break of, you know, recently we made an agent change in my team. And part of it was, you know, I've been in the business 15 years and I know I don't know everything. And I know a lot. I mean, I'm at like mastery level at what I do because it's well over 10,000 hours spent in the field. But I had this one person who was 1 year in the business and I was like, you're a walking lawsuit. You know, like I can't even, and you don't even get it.
Nope.
You don't even understand it, you know, with your smugness. But, you know, I mean, I'm being a little more raw about it than I might normally be. But, I mean, that's really when people get let
she's
go from my.
Driving a Prius, too.
No, she's not. But here's what I'll tell you. Every time I have someone removed from my team, it's either an ethics or a legal liability issue. And, you know, like I say, and I've done this for 15 years and I've had a lot of different people coming in and out of my team. Some people have been there for years and years and years. And, you know, maybe we part company because they just want to go a different direction in their life and how many hours they want to work. But a lot of people I've let go from my team is because something comes up. And, you know, the thing I was smart enough to know when I got into this, because I came from tech and selling to companies like Microsoft, where I had to sit in a room full of attorneys dealing with contract negotiations. And I knew better when I got into this. That, you know, when I had my mentor and former agent, he was one of the top agents in the state at that time. And he was my mentor for 6 years. And the first thing he told me when I said, I'm thinking about doing this, he goes, be prepared to be sued for any reason, even if it's not real. And, you know, my whole goal was coming in to try and not put myself and particularly my clients in the crosshairs of a lawsuit. And there is so much to know in just this one. I mean, there's a reason why condo attorneys are specialized, because even just condominium law is so specific. Like, you can't go to a generalist. You'd be a fool to do it. Personal opinion, but I'll get off my high horse.
One thing we, Rob and I commonly tell to agents, actually, is that before you sign off on that paper, just give us a call.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier to deal with an issue before you've signed than it is after the fact.
Right. And well, and agents also, I mean, the whole idea of, you know, we have forms that are preset, you know, written by attorneys, and we get to fill in the blanks, right? And the second we go off any of that language, we're held to the same standard of an attorney, which is why if it's real basic, okay, maybe that's not a big deal. But I know I keep attorneys, you know, on retainer for me, because the second it gets complicated, you know, I'm calling that person up, right? Which actually I should probably talk to you guys after the fact, because she's kind of retiring. So I started thinking about that. I was like, oh, wait, I think she was in Hawaii last time I saw. I doubt she'd be available if she's out on a surfboard.
Right. Well, and before the break, we were just kind of leading in to talk about some common things that a landlord can really think about and be prepared for. know, when they're going into it. But the, I mean, one of the very first questions that comes up with my customers all the time is, all right, I'm buying this home. There's a tenant in the home already. There's an existing lease. It's month to month. You know, I want to keep that tenant in the home. What do I do? Do I, can I execute a new lease, for instance, or what are my rules on that?
Oh, there's a lot at play there, but you can always re-enter a lease. That mm-hmm. if the parties are in agreement on it, and sometimes that's a time to sit down with the tenant and say, mm-hmm. hey, and do you want to go for a year? You're offered more protection here, maybe lower the cost, maybe do some different increases, decreases within the contract itself. Mm-hmm. But if there's an agreement there, then go with it. Okay. I'd always recommend that. Yeah.
What if there's no agreement?
There's no agreement. I mean, you're kind of stuck.
When you say
in that
no
situation.
Agreement, you mean no written agreement?
Well, yeah, what if the tenant says, nah, "I'm pretty happy with the lease I've got. I think I'll just do that."
Are you in Seattle?
Yeah, let's say I'm in Seattle.
You're probably stuck.
You're stuck, really?
Yeah, you're going to be stuck.
I'm stuck. It's a month-to-month lease. Okay, and then the
well,
only
it depends on if you want to get them out or if you want to get them out for a certain reason.
Okay.
Do you want to get? Does your customer want to move in? Personally,
well, let's say that's the case. Yeah, because oh, yeah. we do see that fairly often.
Yeah.
Well, lots and lots of homes are sold with a tenant in the property,
yep.
and most of the time those are going to be an owner occupied purchaser buying that home. So we do need to get the tenant out.
So if it's before closing, then mm-hmm. that's probably going to be a cash for keys type situation where you're going to try and have that tenant move out sooner rather than later,
mm-hmm.
since the owner at that mm-hmm. particular time before closing is not moving in,
mm-hmm.
They can't. There's no just cause to remove the tenant. After the closing, if the tenant remains in, then there's certain notices that you'll have to give to that person to notify them that the owner is moving in. And that is just cause in Seattle.
Okay, wait a minute. So if, let's say someone does purchase the property, the tenant's in there, and they give, how much time do they have to give them?
I believe it's 60 days.
I'd have to take a look, but
I think it's 60 days.
Okay, so that's one of the things. Tip for our listeners. Well, because tips for our listeners, because we tell people all the time, especially like when we've had to do rent back situations and things like that for mm-hmm. you know someone who's owner occupying. But most, if I remember Eric correctly, you know, or you can correct me if I'm wrong, most lenders will only allow up to a 60-day period before that owner occupancy needs to.
That's correct.
Happen.
That's correct. That's if you're
so you got to be on it. You can't be messing around.
Oh yeah, no. If you're taking out a owner occupied mortgage. Your deed of trust will state that you shall take occupancy of that property within 60 days of closing. Otherwise, you could be in default on your deed.
So day of closing, you've got to serve that notice at the
same
time.
There you go. All right. Yeah. I can guarantee you of the transactions I've seen, I can't recall that ever happening
mm-hmm.
by an agent.
Very rare.
I know. Yeah. I know in one instance I've had a client where we had to put into the contract – or we did ask because the person purchasing, it was a multiplex and they did want to take on a unit. We had one case where we asked for them to provide a notice to one of the tenants and then they had to plan around that. Then we also had the reverse side of that where we were representing the listing and some guy just, you know, wasn't in the contract, but asked us to do it. And I remember he tried to take my former business partner to a small claims court because we weren't contractually obligated. Nobody, our client, nobody was contractually obligated to give any notice to anybody. And he got all ticked off because after close, he's like, wait, why isn't there a unit empty? And we're like, because nobody had to.
Yeah.
And he was self-representing.
Well.
And we're like, oh, so sad. And of course, they threw his case out of, you know, small claims court because he only showed up with like two pieces of paper. We had a full file. We explained the situation and it was like, see you later, bud. You know, but I mean, it gets dicey if people aren't paying close attention to some of this stuff. And I can tell you right now, there's a bunch of agents out there that have no idea about it. There's so many new people in the industry. We talk about this on the show all the time. 200 to 250 new agents a month in this industry. There's over 30,000 agents in the state of Washington. The majority of them are in this area.
Yeah.
And they have no clue.
This is job security for you guys, though, you know.
Yeah.
Better for worse.
Isn't that the truth?
All of those agents, you know, they have to, of course, pass a test. But to pass the test,
you got
to get.
Doesn't mean they're
smart. Right. You got to get 70%, you know, to pass the test. And the state, in all their wisdom, doesn't, they don't tell you which questions you missed.
Right.
You know, yeah. So the typical agent out there could be running around with 30% of bad information or wrong information or whatever and just not even know it.
Yeah.
Well, see, and going to kind of what you're talking about right there, Rob and I are doing this almost on a daily basis. And when we start talking about different notices and Seattle Just Cause eviction notice, we've got to do an analysis on every single scenario. So every time a client calls us up, it's which notice and under which subsection of the Seattle Municipal Code will this apply to so that we can give the proper notice and how many days so that this person can get out or move in if you're going to be an owner-occupied. It's complex, and so you've just got to be ready for it.
Yeah, so the layperson doesn't have a chance of probably getting that correct.
Right. It's gonna be tricky. So, you know, the whole thing with Team Reba is like, part of our concept has always been like not only just who works within my team, but the people that are surrounding my team and the resources that we have available. So, you know, because for me, that's one of the most important things, right? If I'm going to do a good job representing one of my clients, I've got to have resources. Just like a showing that I did today, I'm like, oh, here's a geotech guy. Here's a guy if you want to do a thing with a dock or a buoy or this, or here's another attorney that knows waterfront. Here's this, you know, go through a whole litany of all the things of, you know, here's, you know, you're going to need to know this if you're going to be shoring up the hillside, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, like for you guys, like how big is your firm? Because, I mean, if you're having to go through all of this, if that's a ton of research, like how big is your firm?
We've got 7 attorneys and 2 staff.
Okay. So, and you guys are having to stay on top of this. Do you cover mostly just Seattle or do you cover all King County? Like what's kind of a coverage area of client base for you?
Mostly King and Pierce County, but primarily Seattle.
Okay.
And King County is where most of our clients are located.
All right. And so that right there is just full-time job. It's another thing of saying, please don't go to a generalist.
Yes.
You've got to have a lot of people paying attention to a lot of different things.
And I just looked it up, and it's 90 days for an owner to move in.
It's, so that's, 90.
It's 90.
See, that's the thing. I thought it was 90.
It's 90.
And, you know, so that creates issues.
All right. So yeah. if you are a landlord, you own a home, and you're planning on selling it, and then you better be giving those notices out before you sell it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
you've got to put your tenant on notice. Hey, home's going on. Of course, then you also have to arrange for access to the property and showings and all of that. So it won't be any surprise.
Well, or you can do like some of our clients where you give that notice 90 days, they're moved out, and then you can prep and get everything done as quickly
that would
as
be
possible.
The perfect,
and you just have to have people who are willing to, you know, deal with that period of time of, yeah, you have an extra mortgage payment, but if you make it compelling, it will sell.
That's right. Well, when we come back, we have more with Robert Maxwell and Hamilton Gardner. Stay tuned. Learn what you need to know if you're a landlord. Open House at Team Reba.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The Answer.